May the Lord help us to commence our services by singing hymn number 117. Awake, sweet gratitude, and sing the ascended Saviour's love. Sing how he lives to carry on his people's cause above. Hymn 117.
Thank you. Let us read together from the Holy Word of God, from the book of Genesis, chapter 24. The book of Genesis, reading chapter 24. And Abraham was old and well stricken in age, and the Lord had blessed Abraham in all things. And Abraham said unto his eldest servant of his house, that ruled over all that he had, Put, I pray thee, thy hand under my thigh, and I will make thee swear by the Lord, the God of heaven, and the God of the earth, that thou shalt not take a wife unto my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, among whom I dwell. But thou shalt go unto my country, and to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son Isaac. And the servant said unto him, Peradventure the woman will not be willing to follow me unto this land. Must I needs bring thy son again unto the land from whence thou camest? And Abraham said unto him, Beware that thou bring not my son thither again. The Lord God of heaven, which took me from my father's house, and from the land of my kindred, and which spake unto me, and that sware unto me, saying, Unto thy seed will I give this land, he shall send his angel before thee, and thou shalt take a wife unto my son from thence. And if a woman will not be willing to follow thee, then thou shalt be clear from this my oath, only bring not my son thither again. And the servant put his hand under the thigh of Abraham his master, and swear to him concerning that matter. And the servant took 10 camels of the camels of his master, and departed, for all the goods of his master were in his hand. And he arose, and went to Mesopotamia, unto the city of Nahor. And he made his camels to kneel down without the city, by a well of water at the time of the evening, even the time that women go out to draw water. And he said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, I pray thee, send me good speed this day, and show kindness unto my master Abraham. Behold, I stand here by the well of water, and the daughters of the men of the city come out to draw water. And let it come to pass that the damsel to whom I shall say, Let down thy pitcher, I pray thee, that I may drink. And she shall say, Drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. Let the same be she that thou hast appointed for thy servant Isaac, and thereby shall I know that thou hast showed kindness unto my master. And it came to pass, before he had done speaking, that behold, Rebekah came out, who was born to Bethuel, son of Milcah, the wife of Nahor, Abraham's brother, with her pitcher upon her shoulder. And the damsel was very fair to look upon, a virgin, neither had any man known her. And she went down to the well, and filled her pitcher and came up. And the servant ran to meet her and said, "Let me, I pray thee, drink a little water of thy pitcher." And she said, "Drink, my lord." And she hasted and let down her pitcher upon her hand and gave him drink. And when she had done giving him drink, she said, "I will draw water for thy camels also, until they have done drinking." And she hasted and emptied her pitcher into the trough, and ran again unto the well to draw water, and drew for all his camels. And the man, wondering at her, held his peace, to wit, whether the Lord had made his journey prosperous or not. And it came to pass, as the camels had done drinking, that the man took a golden earring of half a shekel weight, and two bracelets for her hands of 10 shekels weight of gold, and said, "Whose damsel art thou? Tell me, I pray thee. Is there room in thy father's house for us to lodge in?" And she said unto him, "I am the daughter of Bethuel, the son of Milcah, which she bare unto Nahor." She said moreover unto him, "We have both straw and provender enough, and room to lodge in." And the man bowed down his head and worshipped the Lord. And he said, "Blessed be the Lord God of my master Abraham, who hath not left destitute my master of his mercy and his truth. I being in the way, the Lord led me to the house of my master's brethren." And the damsel ran and told them of her mother's house these things. And Rebekah had a brother, and his name was Laban. And Laban ran out unto the man, unto the well. And it came to pass, when he saw the earring and bracelets upon his sister's hand, and when he heard the words of Rebekah his sister, saying, "Thus spake the man unto me," that he came unto the man. Behold, he stood by the camels at the well. And he said, "Come in, thou blessed of the Lord. Wherefore standest thou without? For I have prepared the house and room for the camels." And the man came into the house, and he ungirded his camels, and gave straw and provender for the camels, and water to wash his feet, and the men's feet that were with him. And there was set meat before him to eat. But he said, "I will not eat until I have told mine errand." And he said, "Speak on." And he said, "I am Abraham's servant, and the Lord hath blessed my master greatly, and he is become great, and he hath given him flocks and herds and silver and gold and men servants and maid servants and camels and asses. And Sarah, my master's wife, bare a son to my master when she was old, and unto him hath he given all that he hath. And my master made me swear, saying, 'Thou shalt not take a wife to my son of the daughters of the Canaanites, in whose land I dwell, but thou shalt go unto my father's house and to my kindred, and take a wife unto my son.' And I said unto my master, 'Peradventure the woman will not follow me.' And he said unto me, 'The Lord before whom I walk will send his angel with thee and prosper thy way. And thou shalt take a wife of my son, of my kindred, and of my father's house. Then shalt thou be clear from this my oath, when thou comest to my kindred, and if they give not thee one, thou shalt be clear from my oath. And I came this day unto the well, and said, O Lord God of my master Abraham, if thou do prosper my way which I go, behold, I stand by the well of water, and it shall come to pass that when the virgin cometh forth to draw water, and I say to her, Give me, I pray thee, a little water of thy pitcher to drink. And she say to me, Both drink thou, and I will also draw for thy camels. Let the same be the woman whom the Lord hath appointed out for my master's son. And before I had done speaking in mine heart, behold, Rebekah came forth with her pitcher on her shoulder, and she went down unto the well and drew water. And I said unto her, Let me drink, I pray thee. And she made haste and let down her pitcher from her shoulder and said, Drink, and I will give thy camels drink also. So I drank, and she made the camels drink also. And I asked her and said, Whose daughter art thou? And she said, The daughter of Bethuel, Nahor's son, whom Milcah bare unto him. And I put the earring upon her face, and the bracelets upon her hand. And I bow down mine head, and worship the Lord, and bless the Lord God of my master Abraham, which had led me in the right way to take my master's brother's daughter unto his son. And now, if ye will deal kindly and truly with my master, tell me, and if not, tell me, that I may turn to the right hand or to the left. Then Laban and Bethuel answered and said, The thing proceedeth from the Lord. We cannot speak unto thee, bad or good. Behold, Rebekah is before thee. Take her and go. And let her be thy master's son's wife, as the Lord hath spoken. And it came to pass that when Abraham's servant heard their words, he worshipped the Lord, bowing himself to the earth. And the servant brought forth jewels of silver, and jewels of gold, and raiment, and gave them to Rebekah. He gave also to her brother and to her mother precious things. And they did eat and drink, he and the men that were with him, and tarried all night. And they rose up in the morning, and he said, Send me away unto my master. And her brother and her mother said, Let the damsel abide with us a few days, of at least 10. After that she shall go. And he said unto them, Hinder me not, seeing the Lord hath prospered my way. Send me away, that I may go to my master. And they said, We will call the damsel, and inquire at her mouth. And they called Rebekah, and said unto her, Wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. And they sent away Rebekah their sister, and her nurse, and Abraham's servant, and his men. And they blessed Rebekah, and said unto her, Thou art our sister. Be thou the mother of thousands of millions, and let thy seed possess the gate of those which hate them. And Rebekah arose and her damsels, and they rode upon their camels and followed the man, And the servant took Rebekah and went his way. And Isaac came from the way of the well Lahayit Roi, for he dwelt in the south country. And Isaac went out to meditate in the field at eventide. And he lifted up his eyes and saw, and behold, the camels were coming. And Rebekah lifted up her eyes, and when she saw Isaac, she lighted off the camel. For she had said unto the servant, What man is this that walketh in the field to meet us? And the servant had said, It is my master. Therefore she took a veil and covered herself. And the servant told Isaac all things that he had done. And Isaac brought her into his mother Sarah's tent and took Rebekah, and she became his wife, and he loved her. And Isaac was comforted after his mother's death. May the Lord be pleased to bless to our souls his holy word and help us now as we come before him in prayer. Most holy, most gracious Lord God, grant to us each now that true spirit of prayer. Prayer indited by the Lord. The Lord will surely hear. For thou art the true God, the living God, the God of gods, the Lord of lords. O, do help us to approach unto thee now, thankful to find there yet is room before the throne of grace. All thankful that this man receiveth sinners. For Lord, we are such guilty sinners, guilty of breaking thy holy commandments, guilty in thought, guilty in word, guilty indeed, sins of commission, sins of omission. Oh, how our sins abound. May we be found with that true confession of all our sins. Oh, save us from mere lip confession. Oh, save us from that mere acknowledgement. But grant us that true heartfelt confession of all our sins, a broken heart, a broken contrite spirit, to tremble before thee. Or might we know that true godly sorrow, which worketh repentance unto salvation. For Lord, we cannot save ourselves. Oh, we cannot pay the price, for truly we are bankrupt. We have nothing to pay. But Lord, we would come as beggars. Oh, to be found spiritually in sackcloth and ashes, laying prostrate before thee, putting our mouths in the dust, imploring thy rich mercy. God, be merciful to me, the sinner. Oh, to obtain thy mercy. Lord, that there is forgiveness with thee, that thou mayest be feared. Though we find that our sins abound, O, may we also prove that thy grace doth much more abound through Christ. O, to know him, to be found in him, O, to be saved in him with an everlasting salvation. O, to know Christ as our Saviour, our Redeemer, yea, our shepherd and our friend, our all in all, the one thing needful. Oh, Lord Jesus, do come and reveal thyself. Oh, grant us that glimpse of thy dear face, showing himself through the lattice. Lord, manifest thyself unto us as thou dost not unto the world. Grant us that good hope through grace that we are thine, numbered amongst thy people, the living family of God, foreordained unto eternal life, such who find grace in thy sight. With them numbered, O may I be, now and in eternity. Lord, remember those here in soul exercise, in soul trouble, those fleeing from the wrath to come, but fleeing to the city of refuge, even Jesus, who long to find him, who long to be found in him, who long to believe, or who long for that peace which passeth all understanding, that peace in believing, who long to be made sure that my beloved is mine and I am his, who long to know their sins forgiven, their iniquities pardoned, their transgressions covered over. Long for that sweet sense of blood-bought pardon. Might it please thee, Lord, to visit their souls and grant them such a blessing that they might go on their way rejoicing. My Jesus hath done all things well, who love me, gave himself for me. Lord, there may be some who need reviving again, some who need restoring. Restore unto me the joy of thy salvation, some who need comforting, some who need thee to come again. Lord, should there be found any here indifferent, careless, yet dead in trespasses and in sin, satisfied with the form. Could it please thee, Lord, to awaken, to quicken, to call by thy grace. Lord, remember each one present before thee this afternoon. Thou knowest what has brought us here, the desires, the prayers, the petition, the yearnings, the longings, the hopes, the fears. Oh, Lord, bless each soul, touch each heart, send forth thy word, grant the gift of the Holy Ghost. May there be that wrought of God, move upon the face of the waters. Come and make the place of thy feet glorious. Come and give our souls a treat. Leave not my soul destitute. May there be that purpose. May we prove and feel and know the Lord is here. Lord, then do come. For without thee we can do nothing, either in pulpit or in pew. But Lord, send forth thy word and glorify thy name. Remember any with providential needs and trouble, difficulties, problems, perplexities, matters that are too hard, too great, too many, those who may feel to be pressed out of measure, wondering where the scene will end, those who have their disappointments, their setbacks, things crooked, things rough, things hard to understand, we wonder why. Lord, remember some. Bless each soul, we pray. Lord, we look to thee. We would pray for each one present, from the youngest to the eldest. Lord, be mindful of each one. Lord, do remember those unable to come who would be here if they could. Any laid aside in affliction, sickness, weakness, infirmity, remember such. Those away at this time, Lord, remember them. Do bless this cause of truth. Above all, may they know that thy Spirit remaineth among them. And may there be those evidences of thy Spirit's work in the hearts and lives of thy people. We would be thankful for all thy many, many mercies. We have so much to be thankful for and would be thankful. But Lord, help us now as we turn to thy word. Do shine upon it that we may see light out of thy light. Come and do us good. We ask all for Jesus' sake alone. Amen.
Hymn number 202. Now may the Lord reveal his face and teach our stammering tongues to make his sovereign reigning grace the subject of our songs. Hymn 202.
Thank you.
As the Lord may be pleased to grant his gracious help, I would direct your prayerful attention to three words that you will find in our reading from Genesis chapter 24, the last three words in verse 58. I will go. Genesis chapter 24, the last three words of verse 58. I will go. Yet we would not lose sight of the context of our text here. They said, we will call the damsel and inquire at her mouth. And they called Rebekah and said unto her, wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. I do personally feel this chapter, Genesis 24, though very long, should always be read through. As you leave out part of it, you can leave out something very important. Yes, it's a long chapter, and our text comes towards the end of the chapter. And you see, there is so much before of what had been happening. The Lord going before, the Lord causing all things to work out according to his holy, sovereign, eternal will, the Lord putting it in the heart of Abraham concerning a wife for his son Isaac, that he should not take one from the Canaanites of whom he dwelt at that time, but would take that oath of his servant to go unto his own people, his own kindred, and there to find a wife for his son Isaac. Of his servant, feeling such a heavy burden resting upon him, what did he do? He followed that wise instruction given in a song, cast thy burden upon the Lord, and he shall sustain thee. And how this servant, I'm quite sure, prayed his way along. I, being in the way, the Lord led me by the right way. He needed the Lord's help. He needed Jehovah Jireh. Oh, I'm sure that servant, and perhaps he was one who was left at the bottom of a hill, we're not told. But he knew all about that time when Abraham would offer up his son, his only son Isaac. Jehovah Jireh, the Lord will see, the Lord will provide. What a word. And how the servant looked to the God of Abraham. He worshipped the Lord, he prayed his way. Oh, he looked to the Lord to see the need, the real need. Abraham saw it was a real need. His servant also saw that it was a real need. And they both looked to the Lord. The Lord will see. The Lord will provide. But still he must go forth in faith. He must go forth prayerfully, looking to the Lord to fulfill his gracious word. Oh, how he prayed his way along. Dear friends, in the way that we take, the path that we're called to go, the unknown way, all that we might be found praying our way along, walking by faith, not by sight, casting our burden upon the Lord, as we have it in Peter, casting all your care upon him, for he careth for you. Commit thy way unto the Lord. Trust also in him. And he shall bring it to pass. Ah, So the servant goes forth, and there outside the city, he finds that well. And there I believe the Lord put it into his heart. That prayer that he offered up, that the damsel who should come forth and offer the drink to him and a camel should be the one whom God had appointed to be Isaac's wife. We must be very, very careful when we pray unto the Lord, like this servant here, and we cannot but help think of Gideon, that we are not dictating to the Lord what he must do, that we may see his hand. And yet perhaps the Lord brings us into such places and circumstances where we, as it were, desperately need to see his hand. And perhaps the Lord puts into our hearts how we should pray concerning these things. Oh, I know it's a very narrow line. May the Lord ever keep us from dictating to him. And yet we have this word, be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplications, with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And here we have this request of a servant. Really, like Manoah and his wife of old, he looked on while the angel did wondrously. Oh, well, might he wonder to see whether the Lord had prospered his way or not. The Lord had. The Lord had gone before. The Lord would see. The Lord would provide. The Lord put it into the heart of Rebecca to go forth specifically at that time with her pitcher. Or that there might be that meeting between the servant and her, and that request made, and that given. The man bowed down his head and worshipped the Lord. Oh, truly it is a wonderful thing when we can see the Lord's hand. The Lord going before. Oh, when we can see the hand of the Lord in these certain matters, you know, to any onlooker, to any others there, all would have seemed just natural, normal, nothing uncommon, nothing different. And even to Rebecca herself at that time, she was just being dutiful, kind. But to the Abraham's servant, oh, he was watching the Lord's hand. Watching the Lord's hand diligently. Oh, watching to see which way the Lord would lead him and how the Lord would provide for him. So they come into their house. He would not eat until he had spoken his errand. Oh, how heavy it weighed upon him. Laban and Bethuel, the thing proceedeth from the Lord. We cannot speak unto thee bad or good. Behold, Rebekah is before thee. Take her and go. And let her be thy master's son's wife, as the Lord hath spoken, even they. They saw the Lord's hand. Oh, they saw that the matter proceedeth from the Lord. Oh, there is so much here. Dear friends, in our pathway, our circumstances, our situations, in watching the Lord's hand to see whether the thing, and you know what the thing in your pathway, the thing that is before you, the thing which is exercising your heart, or the thing which you try to commit unto the Lord, to see if it proceedeth from the Lord. Because if it proceedeth from the Lord, then all would be well. If it doesn't proceed from the Lord, then where does it proceed from? Does it proceed from the flesh? Is it just the lust of the flesh? Does it proceed from Satan? Satan, who can appear at times as an angel of light, Satan, who can quite easily quote scripture, usually out of context. Or where does the thing proceed from? Great mercy. If faith is given to see that the thing proceedeth from the Lord. It feels to be pressed upon my mind the end of a Sermon on the Mount. The Lord Jesus speaks of those two who built their houses, one upon the sand and the other upon the rock. Both suffered the storm, the wind, the rain, and so on. One stood and one fell. We might say that which proceeded from the Lord, which was built upon the rock Christ Jesus, it stood. Oh, let the storm do its worst. Batter it as hard as it possibly can. It will stand, it must stand, because it proceedeth from the Lord. But that one upon the sand, it fell. And great was the fall of it, because it did not proceed from the Lord. It proceeded from the flesh. Oh, it proceeded from man's wicked heart, his own evil imaginations. Oh, that we might be found upon the rock, Christ Jesus. Now, just briefly returning to this account, next morning it would appear that Laban and Bethuel had had a change of mind. They were not so keen now to release Rebecca. They wanted to keep her for a bit longer. You see, in this, Laban was very prone to change his mind. Many years later, when Jacob came to seek that refuge with Laban, fleeing from his brother Esau, you know how first Laban gave Leah before he gave Rachel, forcing Jacob to serve him for 14 years, then changing his wages 10 times, dealing very deceitfully with him, keeps changing his mind. So next morning, let her abide with us a few days, at least for 10. After that she shall go. But this answer of a servant, hinder me not. Seeing the Lord have prospered my way, send me away that I may go to my master. Is there one here this afternoon? In your pathway, in your experience, oh, there seems to be so many hindrances. I know it concerns prayer, but we have at him. What various hindrances we meet in coming to thy mercy seat. But he who knows the worth of prayer will often seek to be found there. Or you find those many hindrances in your way, those many things to detain you. Now, even the Apostle Paul, he once spoke of, but Satan hindered us. And if your religion is real, if it is of God, if a matter proceedeth from the Lord, if the Lord is leading you, if the Lord is guiding you, directing you, drawing you, I think you can be assured of this, Satan will seek to hinder. Or Satan ever seeks to hinder the child of God in his pathway and to turn him aside, to cause him to make shipwreck of faith, to destroy his faith. Hinder me not, seeing the Lord had prospered my way, oh, to press on toward the mark of the prize of the high calling of God, to run with patience the race that is set before you, looking unto Jesus. Hinder me not, seeing the Lord have prospered my way. They call the damsel, they call Rebecca. Perhaps they thought she also would not be so keen to leave her parents, her family, her friends, her people, to go with this, and I'll say this reverently, this stranger, never seen him before, to go to, in one sense, another stranger, yes, of her kindred, whom she'd never seen before, really to leave everything, to forsake everything, to go with this man, that is a servant, there to become the wife of Isaac. Wilt thou go with this man? And she said, I will go. It seems to be in my mind like a subtext behind our text here. We read of it in the Psalms. Thy people shall be willing in the day of thy power. Made willing to say, I will go. Made willing to forsake all and to go in that way. I will go. But as I mentioned at the outset, there is so much that happened before. All of these things that had gone before, which brought to this very point of Rebecca being made willing to go, to say, I will go. I will go in faith. I will go in dependence. I will go because the thing proceedeth from the Lord. I will go, hinder me not, seeing the Lord have prospered my way. I will go. Now, with the Lord's help, I do want to speak from this word both spiritually as well as providentially. That is, in the experience of the Lord's dear people in their souls as well as in their pathway. When they're brought to this, I will go. But before, we have to consider when these words perhaps were first spoken, and in the eternal purposes of God, the Father, looking upon all of lost mankind, knowing that man would fall, man would sin, man would deserve hell, eternal damnation, banishment. He chose out a people whom he would save. The election of grace. And he set his love upon them, his eternal and everlasting love. And yet this people, lost and ruined in the fall, the sons and daughters of Adam and Eve, they needed to be saved, for they could not save themselves. Or they would be bankrupt souls, or they would be full of sin. Sin would be mixed in all that they thought and said and do, that they would be unable to obey God and keep his holy commandments, that they would be lost and ruined sinners. They needed a Saviour. And in the wonderful plan of salvation between Father, Son, and Holy Ghost, we might reverently say, Christ said, I will go. I will go to be their Saviour. I will go to this sin-cursed earth. I will go to be a real man, made in all points like unto his brethren, sin only excepted. Oh, let us never lose sight of that Christ became a real man. He took into union with his divine nature, which he ever was, a human nature. Great is the mystery of godliness, God manifest in the flesh. Bow down sense and reason, faith only reign here. I will go. Oh, to leave the glories of heaven above, to leave the bosom of his Father, or to leave, as it were, the praise of the angels there, to come down to this lower earth. I will go. And how Christ would obey that holy law of God that he himself had given at Sinai, and obey it to absolute perfection, to the very jot and tittle, in every conceivable part. I will go, and he wrought out that robe of righteousness. In him the Father never saw the least transgression of his law. I will go. I will go to Calvary. Or I will go and be made a curse. I will go and bear the sins of my people. I will go and stand in their room and place and stead. I will go and hang upon that accursed cross. There the wrath of Almighty God must be poured out upon him. All that which sinners deserve in hell. At times we find that words fail us. All the sufferings of Christ, the agonies of Christ, what he endured no tongue can tell to save our souls from death and hell. I will go so willingly. That errand of mercy, really the whole life of Christ here upon earth, was a life of sacrifice. He never considered himself. Perfection of self-denial. Or utter self-denial in all that he suffered. Even when they taunted him upon the cross, he saved others. Himself he cannot save. Oh, let him come down now from the cross and we will believe him. But no, I will go. Oh, he must pay the price. Oh, he must be the ransom, offering up himself. Oh, suffering such agonies of soul as well as body. But I will go and save my people from their sins. I will go. That he rose again from the dead, ascended up on high, leading captivity captive and receiving gifts for men, and even now is at the right hand of the Father in glory. I will go. He sends a comfort of the Holy Spirit. Dear friends, the greatest thing that could ever take place in our lives, and oh, it is a wonderful, great mercy if we have that hope that it has, it's a new birth. You remember the words of the Lord Jesus to Nicodemus, "Ye must be born again." Oh, there must be that new birth. Without the new birth, there can be no spiritual life. If any man have not the Spirit of Christ, he is none of his. But when a soul is born again, the Spirit enters in. And there is that spiritual life. And that Spirit will work in the heart. Yes, the Spirit will convict of sin. He shall take of mine and show it unto you. Oh, he will bring that sinner to see what he is in the sight of God. The arrow of conviction will enter into his heart and it will wound him. Yes, it will distress him. He will be brought to see in measure how he has sinned against God, how he has broken the holy commandments of God, how he stands guilty before such an holy, heart-searching God. What do we know of true conviction of sin? What do we know of true godly sorrow which worketh repentance? What do we know of true confession, confessing our sins unto God? For we are all sinners. Though all are sinners in God's sight, there are but few so in their own, and those few so will be made to feel painfully the plague of their own hearts. They will be brought to know and to prove the heart is deceitful above all things and desperately wicked. Or they will know something of the Spirit searching their hearts, again and again convicting of sin, causing that soul to cry out and to confess the sins and turn to the Lord and beg his rich mercy, continually flee to that fountain open for sin and uncleanness, the fountain of Jesus' precious blood. I will go to change the heart, renew the will, and turn the feet to Zion's hill. I think of the prodigal son. Really, he had two I will goes, didn't he? The first one, he was determined to leave his father's house with a discipline and restraints. He wanted the world and the things of the world and the so-called pleasures of the world. And he took half of his living, took all and went into that far-off country. It never profited him anything at all, for he spent all. And then that mighty famine came into the land, and he was reduced to poverty. He was emptied, he was stripped. He was brought so low that he became a beggar. And he joined himself to a citizen of the land who sent him into that field of swine where he would feed him with those husks, and fain would he fill his own belly with the husks that he gave unto the swine. And no man gave unto him. He began to be in want. Then he remembered his father's house where there was bread enough and to spare. And there he was starving, perishing, and no man gave unto him. He was brought to this, I will go. Oh, he dare not return in his pride and self-righteousness, self-confidence. He dare not even presume that his father would receive him, let alone about restoring him to that place he had before he left. I will say unto my father, I have sinned against heaven and in thy sight, and am no more worthy to be called thy son. Make me as one of thy hired servants, willing to take the lowest place. Now, to see that spiritually, there we have the Lord dealing with his people. The Lord sending that famine into the land of their soul, bringing them down, emptying, stripping, laying them low, showing the vanity of this world that no man gave unto them, bringing them into one. Spiritual want, that need of salvation, that need of redemption, that need of God's mercy, that need of pardon, that need of forgiveness, that no man gave unto him. All those husks could never satisfy him. But he was brought to that resolution, we might say. We might say he was forced to it. Spiritually, we see there the Spirit at work. So ordering things, so dealing with that soul, to bring him to that point where he must go on to his Father's house, his Heavenly Father, or that he must forsake all, that he must flee to the Lord himself, and he must come as a beggar. He must come upon the grounds of mercy. Or he must come imploring for God's rich mercy. He comes with nothing to pay. He comes with his rags. He comes just as he is. But I will go. For if he was to stay, then he would perish. He had to go, and I've often thought of this. We read that he went into a far-off country. Well, he had to return from a far-off country. And just looking at those words, well, it must have been a long way. He had a long way to return. Perhaps there's one here this afternoon, if you will, on your way back. But you're upon your knees. You're begging for mercy. Or you're so fearful that you may be rejected, cast out. That there will be no mercy, there will be no hope, no pardon, no forgiveness. Or you feel to be such a sinner, so full of sin. I wonder at times if his prodigal son may have had hindrances. Thoughts in his mind of turning back. Thoughts thinking, there's no point in me going, my father will not receive me. But he still pressed on. He still ventured, hoping against hope. There's that lovely word in the psalm. The Lord taketh pleasure in them that fear him. In them that hope in his mercy. Or it may be that you cannot say much concerning your religion or any testimony. But do these words come to you as that healing balm? Hoping in God's mercy. Well, surely you must believe that God is merciful. Otherwise, you could have no hope in his mercy. And who raised up that hope? And remember, hope is a grace. One of the principal graces, along with faith and love. Hope maketh not ashamed. Oh, he is the hope of Israel. Israel's hope and consolation. Hope. Thou in God, I will go, hoping in God's mercy. And you know the loving reception the son received from his father. I will go. And again we have it here. That soul being taught their need of Christ to save them. Wilt thou go with this man? The Lord Jesus. Or is the Lord speaking to your soul? Has he come by his word? Has he said, follow me? Follow me. By nature we follow Satan. And no man can serve two masters. It is a very solemn thought that left to ourselves the old man of sin would always follow Satan and the ways of this world and the things of this world. That mad career of sin. What a great mercy if the Lord Jesus has come by his Spirit through his word. or brought us into that state and condition, then says, follow me. Oh, for that grace, that faith, to forsake all. And there must be that forsaking of all. The soul must come just as they are, a poor, needy, guilty sinner. I will go. I will go. All that narrow way which leads from banishment, like we have in the book of Esther, and Esther herself going before the king. Think not that thou shalt escape, though thou be in the king's palace. I will go in unto the king, which is not according unto the law. And if I perish, I perish, but I am resolved to try. I will go to the Lord in prayer. I will go to the throne of his grace. I will go to the seat of his mercy. Oh, I will go and plead that precious blood that does for sin atone. Oh, I will go as a poor, needy, guilty sinner. For this man receiveth sinners. Think of that woman with the issue of blood. She heard of Jesus. She believed in Jesus. All that faith was given to her. But hinder me not. That crowd around the Saviour. I think Berridge in his hymn speaks of that crowd of unbelieving thoughts. And yet there we have faith prevailing. I will go. If I may but touch a hem of his garment, I shall be made whole. And how the Lord Jesus drew her unto himself, and how she came by faith, pressing through that crowd. Wouldn't it be a wonderful thing if here this afternoon the Lord was to say, who touched me? Really, for one to touch a Saviour, they must go unto him. They must seek the Lord while he may be found. They must call upon him while he is near. They must draw nigh unto God. Or they must seek him diligently with all their hearts. I will go. For the Lord says, seek and ye shall find. And no soul who's brought to this, to say, I will go, shall be disappointed. Oh, I will go, the Lord will be pleased to reveal himself. The time of love will come, when ye shall clearly see, not only that he shed his blood, but ye shall say, for me, I will go. Now, just briefly, a few thoughts concerning the pilgrimage, the pathway. Remember, if we fear the Lord, if we hope to be found amongst his people, there must be that of following. So often we think of those words in John 10 of the Lord Jesus, my sheep hear my voice, and I know them, and they follow me. Not just the hearing of his voice, they follow in obedience, in faith, in trust. Like the servant, the Lord led him by the right way. The Lord leads all his people forth by the right way. Many things perhaps we cannot understand, but remember we walk by faith and not by sight. When the Lord Jesus would have his disciples go over the lake before him, he must constrain them into the ship. Now, is the Lord constraining one here this afternoon to obey him, to follow him? Is it the love of Christ constraineth us? I will go. Perhaps you can bring forth many, many reasons why you cannot go. Oh, the mountains in the way. But remember, who art thou, O great mountain? Before Zerubbabel, thou shalt become as a plain. What are the mountains to the Lord? I will go. Did David in his latter days, in his weakness, infirmity, old age, oh, he was brought to this, I will go. But how could he go? I will go in the strength of the Lord God. That is how me and you shall go. In that same way, that same well-trodden way, in the footsteps of a flock, I will go in the strength of the Lord God. I draw another bow at a venture. I have set before thee an open door, and no man can shut it. Now, if this applies to you, you know what that open door is and what it means to you. And perhaps it is that man has been trying to shut it. You have been trying to shut it. Others perhaps have been trying to shut it. But you see, I, the Lord, the Saviour, the Almighty, set before thee an open door. And when he opens the door, then no man can shut it. But may the Lord also grant that faith of humble obedience to say, I will go. Oh, it may be a venture. Remember the prayer of Moses, a good prayer. If thy presence go not with me, carry us not up hence. And how the Lord has spoken to him, my presence shall go with thee, and I will give thee rest. I will go. Just another thought comes to mind. This would have been a great change for Rebecca, leaving her parents, her home, her kindred, her land, to go to Isaac to be his wife. What a great change. And perhaps there is a great change before you. Oh, our lives are full of changes. But to see the Lord's hand in the matter, to see that the thing proceedeth from the Lord, then I will go. The Lord will see. The Lord will provide. Now, I just close with this final thought. If a matter doesn't proceed from the Lord, oh, don't try to twist it and bend it and, as it were, misquote scripture to make it fit because you want to go. The thing seems very enticing, the thing seems very attractive, but you cannot see that the thing proceeded from the Lord. Oh, dear friend, don't go. Don't go. You wait upon the Lord. You look to him to lead you forth by the right way. If we know anything of the pathway, the experience of a child of God, oh, dear friends, there will be many disappointments. Many disappointments in the way. Partly because we still have the old man of sin. Oh, that I had not of myself. Partly because we often seek great things for ourselves. Often because we do not have that gracious discernment in discerning the Lord's hand. But I fought, or I wanted, or I planned, or I schemed, and the Lord disappoints us. I say again, many disappointments in the way. But I trust that we shall all prove, and perhaps some here have proved, our disappointments have proved to be God's appointments, having provided some better thing for us. Ah, the Lord going before, and the Lord, he it is that doth go before thee. He will be with thee, he will not fail thee, nor forsake thee, Fear not, neither be dismayed. I will go. Amen.
He will be provided shortly after the close of this service on the right-hand side of the chapel. And the collections today are for our Needy Cases Fund. I'm sorry, I forgot to announce yesterday that, God willing, we shall have a church meeting on Monday, the 9th of May. Let us close with hymn 418. To our Redeemer's glorious name, awake the sacred song. O may his love, immortal flame, tune every heart and tongue. Hymn 418.
Thank you. And may the grace of the Saviour, the love of the Father, and the communion of the Holy Ghost be with you all. Amen.